two commentators, followed by 30 minutes of general discussion. I'm pleased to introduce our next speaker, Esther Kim Lee, who is an associate professor of theater and Asian American studies at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, the author of A History of Asian American Theater, which received the 2007 Outstanding Book Award given by the Association for Theater and Higher Education. Please welcome Esther Kim Lee.
Thank you. I want to give special thanks to the co-conveners of this conference, especially Professor Youngki Kim and Alice Wong. I feel so honored to be included in this group. I feel like a bit of an outcast. I specialize in Asian American theater, thus Korean American theater. And I want to give you a little personal anecdote. When I was in graduate school at Ohio State University, Dr. Chan Park was there. She was and still is my mentor. And I had to debate between two dissertation topics. One was Korean theater, the other one was Asian American theater. And I felt the latter was more immediate. There was nothing really done on it. And I thought, okay, someday I'll come back to Korean theater. I think the time has come. I feel like I've come to some sense of full circle with Korean American theater, and now I'm repackaging as Korean diasporic theater, that it is included as part of this topic of this conference. So I give special thanks to my mentor and my colleagues and my student who is also here. And this is such a joyous occasion. And I'll try to read off, not really directly from my paper, but at least entertain you somewhat post-lunch. So I'll just go back and forth like the other speakers have done. Okay, so I just finished collecting seven plays from the Korean diaspora. I have five plays from the US, one from Chile, another one from Canada. And I'm literally in the stages of copy editing, and my RA is working on it in Urbana-Champaign right now. And I had to read dozens of plays to evaluate, to think about what the best representation of Korean diasporic plays. And one of the things that I've noticed was that there's quite a bit of preoccupation with identity. I mean, that's really an obvious issue. Am I Korean, Korean American, all these things that we've seen with a number of ethnic writers. But I've also noticed that, and it came as some surprise to me, that there was an immense amount of almost obsession towards what family means. What it means to have a Korean American family, how do I belong in this family? So I want to explore those topics further, and I am merely introducing these plays to you within the time I'm given. I think in my abstract I said four plays. I dropped one in the interest of time. I will not be speaking about Diana Song's play, which, you know, if you are familiar, we could maybe talk about it when I'm done. But three plays I'll be introducing to you, and I will merely be introducing, and hopefully I'll be able to capture what these playwrights are talking about within the time that's given to me. So I've thought about why the family. Why are these writers writing about family? And we are in a different world now. We are in the U.S. But these writers are U.S. born. They're writing in English. So these are Korean American writers, but yet they are writing for American audiences. These are mainstream, so-called mainstream audiences. And why are they writing about Korean American families? And I thought about how Korean immigration to the US have been focused on families. If you think about 1965 Immigration Act, that really opened the gates to Korean immigration. They preferred family reunification. That was really the crux of that Immigration Act. That it was that if you have relatives, if you have mothers, cousins, then you can invite them. And that's how Korean American immigration started, and it still continued to be so. So there is a direct link between what it means to be a Korean immigrant and what it means to be family, Korean American family. And this reunification is also based on the what we normally call American dream, 미국병, right? The literal American disease. If you catch one of these, you can't get away from it. Which means that this idea, and we are very familiar with this, right? That you come to the U.S. and the parents' generation sacrificed. They work as, in swap meets, and the mother toils away at garment factory, and the daughter or son becomes highly professionalized, becomes doctors, lawyers, engineers, artists, musicians, go to Ivy League schools. We are very familiar with this narrative, and it still drives the immigration factory that we're very, very familiar with. And that's the American dream. I think that some call it ideology, that this is what really drove this massive amount of immigration to the US 60s, 70s, 80s. And in comparison to that ideology, the world that's created by these Korean American writers is dystopic. If you think about American dream as utopic, it's this impossible world, right, by definition does not exist, then the world that these writers are creating is dystopic. It's often that the parents are absent emotionally, physically. Children are messed up, they're confused, they don't succeed as professionals. And when we then compare these really two extreme opposite views, one is this imagined utopic world, another is also imagined. This is a writer's imagination of the Korean American family. Now, when we put these two together, then where do we find a sense out of these two juxtapositions? I should also clarify that what I mean by Korean diaspora, I'm trying to describe a certain condition. So when we talk about Korean American or Korean, those two terminologies are based on national definitions. That Korea is a geographic nation, Korean America also US-based. That's trying to make a sense out of what it means to be here as an ethnic group. When we talk about Korean diaspora, I want to talk about a little bit something more, I guess, metaphysical, something more that's the human condition of what it means to live as a diasporic person. And this applies both to Korean immigrant generation and also the second generation. And the term diaspora, as many of you know, literally means scattering. Okay? So it really means unsettling, scattering, and also a sense of displacement. You don't really belong where you are, but yet you have to survive. Okay? So this continual condition, I think we're very familiar with, I think, in the 21st century. Many of us are not from here, necessarily, but we have to survive in wherever we end up. Okay, so let me introduce then these three families. And because each family is complicated, the plays are complicated, what I'll try to do is I'll try to capture this world of these plays as concisely as I can. The first play I'll be talking about is Cleave and Reigning, written by a Korean American writer, Sung No.